This is KCHA, KCZE News Director Mark Pitts, getting ready to talk with Jim Woodford, who is going to be a special guest of Hugeback Johnson Funeral Home in New Hampton, coming up later this month, and we'll talk more about his presentation in a bit. Jim, welcome, and thanks for checking in here from Canada.
Yes, well, thank you, Mark, and for this opportunity to speak to your listeners as well.
Jim's story is that he spent 11 hours in heaven. Jim, let's start with just a little backstory. First, I guess before you get to heaven, you have to die. So what were the circumstances that led you into this experience?
Well, very quickly. Look, I'm well aware that it sounds out of this world. And look, although I was an airline captain all my life, that's what I did for a living. I retired about 10 years ago. And, you know, I was raised Christian, but I had no desire for it in all my life, although I traveled internationally as a pilot. I'm the kind of person that I've got to see the owner's manual before I believe it. I don't think I was agnostic, Mark, but I certainly didn't seek any special relationship with God, led somewhat of a charmed life and had a great career, good family, and then suddenly I hadn't been sick a day in my life. I came down with a disease called Guillain-Barré, and it got significantly worse. There were complications, and my wife is a nurse. She was there. This happened at the hospital in the local town where I live in Canada, and they called the time of death. And my wife was devastated. She's a nurse, by the way, and she knew the doctors, trusted them, but there was no brain sign. And for those of you listeners that think heartbeat is the sign of life, it isn't anymore. They can keep people alive on a pump. But with a brain sign, whether you're dreaming, hallucinating, or having some sort of a psychedelic episode, all of that shows up on the screen. And I was connected to two screens, and there was no sign of life. And so based on that, that's why they decided to give my wife the news. And she was grief-stricken, of course, and immediately called her children, who were flying back from the other side of Canada, for what was to be a funeral in a few days. And the reason why I say 11 hours, I wasn't watching a clock or anything. But, Mark, I saw something, and it, as I just said, it wasn't, and I experienced something. And believe me, as a senior pilot, I need to see the facts. And even I questioned the doctors once I revived enough to do so. But I saw something phenomenal, and I'm not talking about something that I think is unique to me. I've now had the privilege, and I realize it's the age of the Internet, and you can find people that claim they go to heaven as often as I go to a store for dog food, which is every Friday night. And who am I to say they didn't? All I know is all the medical evidence, all the evidentiary stuff that accompanied that in terms of the medical people and my wife knew that something phenomenal had happened. And what I saw, Mark, I wander the world these days because I don't want anyone to ever miss what I saw. Nor do I want anyone to ever experience the alternative to what I saw. And I'm not a pastor. I'm really not a preacher. I'm just someone that had a phenomenal experience. I don't need to do this, but I'm driven to do this.
Jim, I can imagine the family's reaction when you were revived or when you came back. What about the doctor's reaction? I mean, at what point maybe in that 11 hours when I would think the doctors would just say, you know, this is it. You're gone.
Well, actually, I had been, out of kindness to my wife, they agreed to leave me on the heart pump. There was no heartbeat. But Lorraine wanted our children to feel they had the chance to kiss me goodbye before the proverbial plug was pulled. And so I was wheeled. They were busy, and I was wheeled into another room that I found out later had three corpses in there with me. But I was still on the pump, so it was making a noise. And I guess when I started to revive, a young nurse came into the room to see why the machine was beeping. And when she flicked on the light, was the moment that I came up off the hospital bed, screaming at the top of my lungs. But I was screaming because I didn't want to leave what I had seen, Mark. I didn't want to leave. I felt that I had finally reached my true home. Yet I was being sent back, and I was being sent back with this message. This is not yet your time. go and tell your brothers and sisters of the wonders we have shown you. And I cried. I begged them not to send me back. But these were words from Jesus. And whether you're a believer or not, or don't frequent a church, I beg people to just listen with an open mind and an open heart, to just listen. Life doesn't end, Mark, with a slow ride in a hearse. It does not. We think that this is the life. The true life begins after death. And my story resonates with people because most of us have lost loved ones. They're not lost. And that's the message I try to get to them. Your loved ones aren't lost. They're alive in a different form, a form of love and creativity. And it is phenomenal that somehow we've conflated the words of Christ with business. And that is so wrong. This is about what happens to your true life. And I had the sense, Mark, that I had gone back home again, that I had been there before, and it was my choice to come to this plane, to this earth.
Jim, it sounds like you realized as soon as you were revived, or you came back to life, for lack of a better term, that you were aware of what you'd experienced. I mean, I think a lot of people probably something like this, where they maybe get their memory or visions or whatever you want to call them, it'd be in bits and pieces. It sounds like you were aware right on the spot, so to speak.
Mark, I can't even call it a memory. It was engraved on my heart and soul what I saw. And I think that's why the book that I wrote, at the request of many friends who had heard me speak, because I can't reach everyone, but a book does. And we use the proceeds of the book sales to help charities and to help poor people. So this isn't, I've been blessed in life. I'm not, you know, I think there's a cynicism that goes with believing that churches are in, all they want is to have their hand in your pocket. And that's not what we're talking about here. And yet in today's world, you can't function without some sort of funding. So we just use the revenues for our book sales, and people ask us to accept for charitable reasons. But that's not the prime reason for it. I travel the world to try and convince people, because the saddest words, Mark, are the two words, too late. Do not leave this for the moment of your death. And I can assure you of this. Since I've been doing this, I've been at the deathbed. As of last week, I was at the deathbed of my 238th person. And there are no atheists in the last 60 seconds of life, believe me. I don't care how much they hated God or religion. There are no atheists. I'm not there to say, if you don't believe, this is what something bad's going to. I'm just there to say, listen, I just want you to know what I saw. And you're moments away from seeing it yourself. You can't fake it. You have to, whatever you ask God for in terms of forgiveness of the life you've lived, don't get to the point of it's too late, and don't lie. God knows your heart. And it's not about religion, Mark. God doesn't care if you're Catholic, Protestant, or the Frozen Chosen. And that makes people angry. God just wants you to know that you were created in his image, not the facial image, not the image of a young Jewish man. But you were created in the image of his love and kindness.
Jim, you mentioned traveling the world, and you're going to make your second trip to the little northeast Iowa corner of New Hampton here, courtesy of Hugeback Johnson Funeral Home. Obviously, you left an impression on people of the New Hampton area that they wanted to have you come back.
I have to tell you something. I've been blessed to meet hundreds of thousands of people. I've had over 5 million people look at what we do, you know, through the internet and so on. And I've spoken to hundreds of thousands of people. But I'll tell you something. Every once in a great while, I meet some phenomenal people. And the wonderful people that I'm talking about, not only all the people I met there, but Gayla and Brian Hugeback, they are what God referred to as the salt of the earth in the Bible. Those are some of the most precious, wonderful people serving in an industry that sees heartbreak every day. And I fell in love with that whole family. And so if they called me in the dark of night, I'd be on the next plane out to Iowa.
Jim Woodford is talking with us here on KCHA and KCZE. And Jim's presentations at Hugeback Johnson Funeral Home in New Hampton, 1 o'clock Sunday, September 17th, then 7 o'clock on Monday, September 18th, Tuesday, September 19th, and Wednesday, September 20th. Seating is limited. Reservations required, 641-394-4334. Jim, for people who maybe can't get to hear your story in person, you mentioned the book. I'll give you a chance to tell us the book's name and how people can get a copy.
Thank you. I wrote the book at the request of so many people that had heard me speak and wanted to give it to friends and family. The book is called Heaven, An Unexpected Journey, and it's available on Amazon.
Well, Jim, a pleasure to talk with you, and I appreciate your insight, and I'm sure a lot of people are looking forward to hearing your story.
Thank you, Mark, and blessings to you, and may I say to all of your listeners, bless you all.
Thank you, Jim, and safe travels. Jim Woodford joining us here on behalf of Hugeback Johnson Funeral Home of New Hampton.